Makis Daf Ches, and we will begin on Daf Ches and Aleph at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Azorik Evan Rishus Rabim Vaharik. If somebody throws a stone into the Rishus Rabim and it kills, says the Mishnah, the Aloch is Hareza Goyla. And as the Rishonim point out, what the Mishnah is teaching us is that this situation of throwing a stone into the Rishus Rabim falls into the category of Derech Nefila that we learned in the previous shiur, that there is only a Chi of Golas if something happened Derech Yerida, Derech Nefila. Now Mishnah is teaching us that this is indeed considered a situation of Derech Nefila. Continues the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, and as the Rishonim point out, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is not this din, even though it's being quoted as the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, is not to be understood that only Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds this way. Everybody actually agrees to this din that says as follows: Im mishiyotza ha'evim miyadai. If somebody's standing on the roof of his house and he drops down a stone, and before he drops the stone, he looks out and makes sure that there's nobody has stuck out his head. And after he dropped the stone, Rahman al-Tzlan, somebody stuck out his head. So when the stone is coming down, it hits that individual. The halach is a razor potter. This individual is considered an oinus. And as we discussed in our previous year, somebody who is an oinus doesn't have a chi of gulls. Continues the Mishnah. Zarakas Evan Chatzeroy. If somebody threw Evan into his own chatzer, the harag, and killed individual who's there, im yesh rishus lenizik likonisham, if the victim had permission to be there, goyla, then the person who threw the stone goes into golus. Vimlav, but if he had no permission to be there, then ain't a goyla, the person who threw the stone would not go into golus. Shenema, because the Gemara says this is all based on the psukim that teach us the halacha of golus. Because the pasuk that speaks about the chi of golus says v'shiyovei esrei ehu biyar mahayar. It speaks about this happening in a forest. Mahayar, a forest, is an area which is rishus lenizik lemazik lekanisham, where both the nizik and the mazik may be. Afkol rishus lenizik lemazik lekanisham to have a chi of golus, it has to be a place where both the nizik and the mazik have permission to be there. Yotze chotze balabayis, to exclusion of the chotze of the balabayis, my own private property, she'en rishus lenizik lekanisham, where the victim had no permission to be there, there would be no chi of golus. So the Rishonim ask if it's referring to a situation where the victim had permission to be there, so why is this considered a situation of shoygeg, where, as we discussed in the previous year, there's a chi of golus? Perhaps it should be considered a situation of karav lemezid. I should have known that the nizak would have been there and been careful. So some rishonim say it's referring to a situation where the mazik was not aware. Even though the nizik had permission to be there, the mazik was not aware that the nizik would be walking in there, and therefore there is no chi of golus. Another pshat that I saw that the Rishonim suggest is where is it considered an issue is where it's not just that the nizik has permission to be there, but it's in a place where the nizik is there quite frequently. And since the nizik is there quite frequently, the mazik should have been indeed concerned that the nizik would be there and he shouldn't have thrown a stone. And indeed, under such circumstances, the mazik would be b'chayiv. But if it were a situation where, even though the nizik has permission to be there, it's just that he has permission that on an infrequent or on an as-needed basis, he may enter there. But it's not like that the mazik should assume that the nizik is going to be there on a regular basis. Under those circumstances, since the mazik had no reason to believe that the nizik will be there, there the mazik is potter. On the other hand, the Mishnah said that in a case where the nizik doesn't have permission to be there. In such a case, if he did damage, the halach is that he would not be chayiv golos. Says the Sfas Emes, very interesting point that the Sfas Emes makes. That's only, says the Sfas Emes, where the mazik was indeed unaware that the nizik was there. But let's say, even though the nizik had no permission to be there, but the mazik was aware that the nizik was actually there, you can't throw a stone and possibly hurt and kill someone with the excuse that the person had no right to be there. And therefore, if he was aware that he was there, indeed the halacha would be that the mazik would be considered probably karav lemezid under those circumstances. Continues the Mishnah. Abba Shol has a different way of understanding what the Pasuk is coming to teach us, but speaking about a forest. Abba Shol says what the Pasuk is coming to teach us is, Ma tovas etzim shus. Chopping wood is an act that's not a mandatory act, it's a voluntary act. Af kol shus. So too, when would somebody go to Golos, is when he did something which is a voluntary act. Yotza ava makas benoy, as we will discuss in the Gemara, under certain circumstances, a father hitting his son is actually indeed a mitzvah, or harav haroides talmidai, a rebbe hitting his talmid, v'shliach bezdin, all these people are considered having killed someone while doing a mitzvah, and they would not go into Golos. What is the case of shliach bezdin? So Rashi explains that shliach bezdin is referring to a situation where somebody was supposed to get malchus. The shliach bezdin is administering the malchus, and as he's administering the malchus, the person dies. The Rambam says it's referring to a situation where the bezdin appointed someone to summon to bezdin, and the person refused to come to bezdin, so the shliach bezdin started hitting him, which the halach is that the shliach bezdin may do so, and in the course of forcing him to come, he actually killed him. That's considered a case of shliach bezdin. The Ravid goes back to explaining, like Rashi, that's referring to a case of a shliach bezdin who killed someone as he was giving him malchus, but he takes somewhat of a different approach than Rashi. Rashi, as I said, says it's referring to a situation where, as we are going to learn actually later in our Masechta, the halacha is that when someone is supposed to get malchus, the halacha is they evaluate how many malchus he could receive. And Rashi is explaining that's referring to a situation that he was giving the amount of malchus that this person was supposed to receive, but as he was giving him those malchus, Rachman Tzlan, this terrible accident happened where the person was killed. The Ravid has a problem with Rashi's Pshat. And the problem the Ravid has with Rashi's Pshat is quite obvious. If it's referring to a situation that he was giving the malchus that Bezdin said he was supposed to give, and while he was doing that, this victim passed away, that should be considered an oinus, and there should be absolutely no chiyuv golus under those circumstances. And because of this question, Rashi, the Ravid says that's referring to a situation where, as I said a moment ago, we're supposed to identify how many malchus the person is supposed to receive, and indeed that is what happened. And but the shliach bezdin gave more malchus than bezdin said that this person should receive, and while getting the extra malchus, that's when this person died. Why doesn't the Ravid like Rashi's pshat? As I said, because according to Rashi, under those circumstances, the Ravid feels that in the case that Rashi speaks about, there should be no chiyuv malchus. The problem, however, with the Ravid's pshat is that if the shliach bezdin gave more malchus than the victim was supposed to receive, then why is this considered shaygig? He was giving more than he was supposed to receive. So I saw that the Achroinim explained that the Ravid holds that since this person, the shliach bezdin, when he started giving the malchus, was giving was allowed to give those malchus, even though he gave more malchus than he was supposed to. And that's when this victim unfortunately passed away. It's still considered shagig because he started giving the malchus under the proper circumstances. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that if somebody throws a stone into the Shus Rabbim and it killed, ask the Gemara, if that's the case, then why is it considered a situation of shagig? Why is this not considered a situation of mazid? And the Rishonim say it isn't actually mazid, but it should be considered at least karv lemazid, because it's likely, it's not for sure, that it's not, we can't consider it premeditated, but it should be considered karv lemazid, that there should be no chi of galus. Answers the Gemara. Amar Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Amish is referring to a situation besoiser es kaisloi, where somebody's demolishing his wall. And while he was demolishing the wall, someone got hurt. Ask the Gemara, still, the person who was demolishing his wall should have paid attention if perhaps chas v'sholem, there's somebody there that he may be hurting. Answers the Gemara, it's referring to a situation besoiser es kaisloi belaila. He's doing it at night. We had no reason to believe there were people there. Ask the Gemara, by night still, nami iboy leiliyuni, he should have paid attention if there's someone there. Answers the Gemara, besoiser es kaisloi l'ashpa. His wall is right next to a garbage dump, and he was demolishing the wall with the wall falling right into the garbage dump. Ask the Gemara, hai ashpa hechidami, exactly what type of situation are we referring to? Ishchi chibei rabim, if it's a garbage dump where people are there, still, pasheyuhu, he ought to be considered a pasheya, and why is he considered shogeg, that's chayiv golos? If, on the other hand, lo ishchi chibei rabim, there aren't a lot of people there, anasu, it should be considered a situation of anus. And again, as we discussed yesterday, by anus, there is no chayiv golos. Answers the Gemara, Amra Papa, Le'tzricha el aspa hasuya lifnos by belayla. It's a garbage dump. In those days, obviously, they did not have modern sewage systems, so people used outhouses, and people used this area as a place to relieve themselves at night. However, ve'ena suya lifnos by belayla, but they did not use it for such activity by day. However, V'ikri the Mekri V'yosef, sometimes, infrequently, it is even used by day as a place to relieve themselves. And this person was demolishing the wall by day. So Pasheya Loihavi, we can't consider him a Pasheya. It's not typically used by day for a bathroom. However, Oynes Nami Loihava, you can't consider him an Oynes, because since the Ikri the Mikri Yosef, there are individuals that sometimes use that area by day, it's enough to be considered a Shaygik. So Tysus explains that the Gemara now is actually retracting from its previous answer. And the Gemara is now saying that it has nothing to do with night, that the Gemara is now speaking about a place that is by day sometimes used or not, and that's why, and we're referring that where he demolished the wall by day. Why does, if that's the case, why do we have to speak about what is done by night? The Gemara, as Tosfos should have just said, that's a place that's infrequently used by day as an outhouse, and that's the case of our Mishnah. What does the Gemara have to speak about by night? So the Rishonim explained, because what the Gemara is saying is as follows. We have two factors to consider here. One factor is that the fact is that it's used as an outhouse by night. So it is certainly considered somewhat of an outhouse. Coupled with the fact that it is at times used by day, infrequently, when we combine those two factors, that's why the Gemara says it's considered something that he should have been concerned about, and that's why he's considered a shaykik. The Rashba, the Ritva, take a different approach, because they say if our Gemara is completely retracting from its original teretz, the Gemara should have said the word Ella. And therefore, he explains that the Gemara is actually explaining that we're referring to a case where he demolished his wall that the Gemara now is actually defining what it said originally. That originally when it said that that he demolished his wall at night, it doesn't mean that he specifically demolished it at night. It means that he demolished it by day, but it's the kind of circumstances that the Gemara explained. Says the Gemara, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov said that if somebody stuck out his head after the person threw down the stone, it wouldn't be a chiv galus. Tana Rabbanan, umatza, prat lamamtzitz asvay. If somebody stuck out his head afterwards, the halach is that there's no chiv galus. Mikan amar Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, im mishiyatza evem miyodai, if after the person threw the stone, hoitzi halos roish vekibla, the victim stuck out his head and he got hit by it, the halach is potter, there is no chiv galus, it's considered oinus. Machloikus rishonim, what would be regarding monetary damages? The Rambam says that in such a circumstances there are no monetary damages at all, whereas in this case there are no monetary damages at all. The Torah says, even though as we learned in Masechet Bava Kamma, there's a chiyuv when somebody damages someone else of nezek tzar, ripui shevus, and baishus, here all of those obligations don't exist, but there would be a chiyuv of nezek. Ask Taisus. We learned the Gemara in Masechet Bava Kamma, actually, if somebody threw something down from the roof and it was supposed to hit a place where there were blankets and pillows, and someone else came and took away those blankets and pillows, the person who threw those items is not considered a mazik because they were supposed to land on the blankets and pillows. So what is the difference, asked Tosfos, between if that case is not considered a mazik, in this case there should be no chiyuv galus? Why do we need a special pasuk to teach us prat lamamtzi its atzmai? So the Rishonim give a number of terutzim. One terutz is that in our Gemara it's certainly worse of a situation than in the situation there, because at the end of the day he did throw a stone in a place where people are, just he made sure there were no people there. Still, one should not throw a stone, say the Rishonim, in a place where there are people there, even in a case where there's nobody there currently. Another teretz is that when somebody took away the pillows, in that case, there was at the time that the items were thrown down, it wasn't considered at all a maisa nezek. Whereas throwing a stone in its own is considered a maisa nezek under all circumstances. There's just a halacha that if he wasn't there, just the new halacha prat lamamtzias atzmai lememra. So according to this understanding, when the Torah says umatza esreihu v'meis, umatza means lememra the matza mikar mashma. Matza means that he was there from the beginning. Ask the Gemara that we find that the Torah uses the word umatza with just the opposite explanation. The halach is that if somebody sells a steyachuza, a field that he got as a yerusha, so the halacha is that for 2 years the buyer could keep it under all circumstances. However, after 2 years, if the seller now has the ability to redeem it, the buyer has to allow him to redeem it. Of course, it's prorated at the rate that we look at how many years, what was the purchase price, and how many years there are to Yovel. Because when Yovel comes, it returns back to the seller no matter what. And the pasuk says, when does the person have a right to demand that the buyer let him buy it back? The pasuk says, v'ish kilayir l'goyl, he didn't have somebody to redeem it on his behalf. Now v'sigu yodoy, and now he has the funds, u'matzah g'day gulosay, then he can redeem it. Says the b'raisa, u'matzah prat l'matzi, we only give the seller the right to demand to redeem it if he did not have the funds at the moment he sold it. However, what it means is shalayimka barachik v'yigabakarei, he can't sell a more distant field and then redeem a redeem one closer by taking that money and now saying, I didn't have money at that time. Or Barav Yigabayofa, he shouldn't sell an inferior field to redeem a superior one, since he owned these other fields at his time that he sold to stay Achuzo. That's when he only when he sold the field because of financial circumstances, not may he demand that he redeem it, otherwise he may not. So we see here the definition of the word matzah, that he found later. Only umatzah, if later he found the funds with which to redeem, does he have the right to demand redemption. But if matzah, if he had it from the beginning, he would not have the right. So here we have the word matzah, meaning just the opposite of the way we've defined it in our parsha. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hach Minyan Dekra, Vas Minyan Dekra. We always have to look at the word in the context of the pasuk. The Torah uses the word matzah with v'siga yoda. Ma siga yoda means that he now has the funds. Af matzah nami mahashta, that he only has the funds now, he did not have them previously. Hacha, regarding galus, minyana de kro. Umatzah dumi de yar. To be chayiv galus, umatzah, it has to be similar to the forest situation. Ma yar, the forest was there, the isimi kara. Similarly, to be chayiv golus, nami midas mikara, was only if the victim was there at the from the outset. If the victim wasn't there from the outset, there would be no chayiv golus. Hazarik Evan Abishol said that one is only chayiv misa, is only chayiv golus if he did a voluntary act, not if he did a mitzvah. Amay humer abonin l'rova memaydim ha'tavis eitzim drushos. Why do we say that the pasuk is teaching us specifically when one is chopping wood as a voluntary act? Dilma matavis etzim de sukkah. Perhaps the pasuk is referring to a case where somebody is chopping wood; they should be able to build his sukkah. Or matavis etzim maracha, who is chopping wood that he should have wood for the mizbeach. And still, the Torah is teaching us, says the Gemara, to suggest the Gemara, that a person goes to Golos even though he did a mitzvah act. Amalei. So he responds, we can't consider chopping wood we can't consider chopping wood for a sukkah or for a mizbeach a mitzvah. Kiven, the matzah chotev, lav mitzvah, since if he already found it previously, if he had chopped wood, there is no specific wood mitzvah to chop wood for a sukkah. The mitzvah is to have a sukkah, and if you already have chopped wood, there is no mitzvah to chop it. So therefore, here, even if he's chopping wood for the mitzvah, the namila mitzvah, we can't consider chopping wood as a mitzvah. Esvei Ravina Larava Yotza Hamakas Benoi. The Mishnah, however, taught us that if a father is hitting the son, or a Ravaroid is Talmidai, or if a Rebbe is hitting a Talmud, or Shliach Bezdin, why do we say the same thing? Kivin de Ilgoma, when does a father have to hit a son? When he's not paying attention. But if he were learning, there was no mitzvah. So why, when he does have to hit him, is it considered, hashtanami should always never be considered a mitzvah? Just like chopping wood for a sukkah, we said is not considered a mitzvah. Answers the Gemara. Hosom, afgav de goma mitzvah. Even in a situation where a son is learning, that it's a mitzvah to hit him. T'ksiv, Yasa bincha v'yinichecha v'yitein medanim l'nafshecha. It's considered a mitzvah because even if he's learning right now, he keeps him on the right path. Hadam Rava, lam milsi damri. Then Rava said, what I said was incorrect. Because the pasuk says, v'shiyoves re'eyu b'yar. The pasuk says somebody comes into the forest when his friend is there, which means the boy ayel, iboyel, loy ayel. It's referring to a situation where the person had the prerogative if to enter the forest or not to. Bisakadatach mitzvah. It was saying that the pasuk is referring to a situation where there's a mitzvah to go into the forest. Misagad loy ayel. How could the pasuk now say the words vashiyova, which means if that he has the option? If it's a mitzvah, he doesn't have the option. Rashi says that even though Rava, even though the Gemara says Hada Amar Rava, it's not that Rava retracts from the principle that he previously said. He still considers building a sukkah, chopping wood for a sukkah, not a mitzvah. He's just explaining the pasuk in a way that we have no question what the pasuk is referring to. The Miri, however, disagrees. The Miri says that part of what Rava means to say, what the Gemara means to say, with Hadam and Rava, is that Rava indeed is retracting. And according to Rava, that indeed, if somebody is cutting wood for a sukkah because he needs the wood, even though it's not absolutely mandatory, still it would not be considered, it would be exempt, it would be considered an oisik b'mitzvah. Ask the Gemara. Amalei Rav Avda bar Ahava l'Rava, is this true? The Kol Hechad Ksiv Asher. And the way the pasuk uses the words Asher, we say it means Dibayhu, that it means something which is optional. The pasuk says Almata. The pasuk says V'ish Ashiyitma V'lo Yitzchata. The person becomes Tamei and doesn't become Tahar. The halach is if he enters the base of Migdash in such a state, Rechman Slon, he's Chayiv Karis. Again, are we going to say that it's referring Ibai Mitma, Ibai Eloi Mitma? That's only referring to a situation where a person had the option to become Tamei? Only such an individual who wasn't obligated to become Tamei, if he, Rachman Tzlan, enters the Beis HaMikdash afterwards while he's still Tamei, he will be Chayiv Karis. Will that mean, therefore, that Meis Mitzvah, that if somebody found a Meis Mitzvah where there is no option, he's obligated to become Tamei. He doesn't have an option. Will it be Hachid Nami the Potter? Could we suggest if then that individual who became Tamei to the Meis Mitzvah enter the Beis HaMikdash, she won't be Chayiv Karis? Answers the Gemara, we can't ask from that Pasuk. Because Shani Hosam, Tamei Kra, the Pasuk says, Tameiya. The Pasuk uses the words Tameiya to teach us Mikamokan. Under all circumstances, the person is chayiv if he enters the Beis HaMikdash with as Tamei. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that that's what that pasuk is teaching us? Hahumi bar lechretanya Tamei l'rabbis tefil yoyim. We know that the halacha is that always part of the purification process is that somebody go to the mikveh. But if somebody goes to the mikveh, he's still Tamei the entire day until he has Herev Shemesh. Such an individual is called a Tful Yoim. And the Pasuk is teaching us that even someone who is a Tful Yoim, that is considered, even somebody who is a Tful Yoim, the Torah considers him Tamei, that if he went into the Beis HaMikdash under such circumstances, he'd be Chayiv Karis. Tumasa Boy, the Rabbis Mechusuk Purim, there are certain people, Azov, Azova, a Metzaira, a Yoledes, that the Torah says, besides going through the entire purification process, they also have to bring kabbonis. And the halach is that until they bring those kabbonis, they're considered tamei. So how can we say that the pasuk is coming to teach us that no matter how you became tamei, even if you became tamei because it's a mitzvah to become tamei, yechai of course if you went into the base of Migdosh, we need that pasuk to teach us these halachas. Amalei anami oid kamina. I'm learning it from the word tameiya oid tumasabai. The oid is coming to teach us, which is a seemingly redundant word. It's coming to teach us this halacha that a person who goes into the Beis HaMikdash under these circumstances will be chayiv karis, even though he had a right and a mitzvah to become tamei. Says the Gemara, ikad masn laha. However, they have this entire discussion that Rav said regarding a different pasuk. The pasuk says, "Becharish ubekatzer tishvais." Rabbi Kiva Oimer, "Ain't it tzarich loimer chatzer shashvius bekatzer shashvius?" It can't be that the pasuk is teaching us that one may not plow or plant his field in the shmita year. Shrei kvar nemar. There's already a general pasuk that says, "Satcha leisizra v'karmacha." And of course, the pasuk doesn't mean, say the Rishonim, that it's talking specifically to these actions, but it refers to anything that one may not work in his field during the Shemitah year. What does the pasuk come to teach us? It's talking about the charish of Erev Shemitah, that whatever was planted that if it was plowed in the year before Shemitah, and then the benefit comes in the Shemitah year, or katzah shviyas shiyatzel matzah shviyas, or something that was reaped in the year after Shemitah, but if it grew in the Shemitah year, it's still going to be considered awesome. Again, as the Rishonim framed this Gemara, the pasuk says b'charosh b'katzer tishbais. It's hard to say, explained the Rishonim, that the pasuk is referring to Shabbos. Because why would we single out these malachas of Shabbos? And as Rishonim point out, and we learned this Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, to teach us that you get a separate chiyuv for every malacha on Shabbos, that's something that we've already learned from the pasuk of Leisavaru Eish B'chamash V'seichem. So that can't be what the pasuk is coming to teach us. So what is the? So this is where we begin, where the pasuk is coming to teach us what is the Isser. And as the Ritva says, even though our pasuk is teaching us that Tosfos Shviyos, already before Shviyos, it's prohibited, the halacha is that would only is for that midaraisa. It's only 30 days. The Rabbanon extended the time that in a state Elon, a field with trees, it starts from the Pesach before, and a state Lovin, a grain field, starts from the Shavuos before. Furthermore, that this halacha, that the katzah shashviyas hayotzel matzah shviyas, explains Rashi, is referring to tefuah that grew one third of its growth already in the Shemitah year. That fruit, those produce, will be considered Shemitah produce and will be usur even if it's actually cut in the year after Shemitah. Ask the Rishonim, let's understand this circumstance. If it only grew a third in the Shemitah year, and two thirds were grown in the year after Shemitah, why shouldn't it be bottle? So the Mefarshim explained, once it grew a third, it's considered a full-fledged fruit or full-fledged produce, and therefore it already gets the status, the type, the category of Shemitah produce, and is not subject ever and can never lose that status. Rabbi Shmuel, however, says that the pasuk is teaching us machorish rishus, just like charisha is by definition a rishus, af kotzer rishus. So too, the only ktsira which may not be done on Shabbos is something which is a voluntary act. Yotzer kotzer ha'omer shumitzvah. We know that on Tezai and Nissan they had to cut the new omer. That is a mitzvah, and if Tezai Nissan comes out on Shabbos, you're allowed to cut the Omer, even though it's Shabbos. Where will Rabbi Kiva know this halacha from? So I saw two approaches in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that Rabbi Kiva will actually hold that Ktsiras HaOmer is not Doich Shabbos, whereas other Rishonim suggest Rabbi Kiva says that he knows this through halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Amalei Humer Rabbanon L'Rova V'may D'Charisha Rishos. How do we know that the pasuk is referring to charisha of rishus? Dilma charisha oimer the mitzvah. Maybe the pasuk is referring to charisha that is a mitzvah. Vafila haka amar rachmana. Maybe the Torah is still teaching us that the charisha, which is a mitzvah, the charisha of the field which you're going to use for the oimer tishbites, may not be done on Shabbos. So Rashba asks, how can we ever consider charisha mitzvah? Because ktsira, if we're cutting grain, we're cutting omer that we need for the carbon, so we know that we're doing a mitzvah. When we're plowing, we can't ever be sure that the actual field that we plow will indeed give produce that we could use for the omer. So the Rashba answers that we have to do what we have to do. Harisha is required. And since the Harisha is required, the fact that it may not be successful doesn't change it from the fact that it's a mitzvah. Amalei, Kivin, so now says Rava, Kivin the Matzah Charish Ein Charish, since the halacha is that if you found plowed field, there is no obligation to plow a field specifically for the Omer. That's why we can never consider plowing lav mitzvah. We can never consider plowing a mitzvah because it's not mandatory. So ask the Gemara, Eisei Ravina L'Rava, Yotza Av HaMakas B'noi, V'Rav HaRoides Talmidoi, V'Shliach Bezdin, that they're all considered having done a mitzvah. Ask the Merv Amai, why don't we say the same? Lema, why don't we say Kivin the Ilgomer, had this student or son listened, lav mitzvah, there wouldn't have been a mitzvah here. There's no mitzvah to hit him. So hashtinami, when they weren't doing what they were supposed to do, it should not be considered a mitzvah. Answers the Gemara, Hosam Avagav the Gomer, even though the son is paying attention, if Talmud is paying attention, mitzvah covered. The ksiv, Yasa bincha v'yanichecha. So our Gemara is teaching us, as we learned on Amud Aleph, that hitting a child is always considered a mitzvah. However, the Hilchus Ketanis, there's a very interesting Hilchus Ketanis that says that given that every child and every student requires a different type of discipline, perhaps he says it. You have to go to Beis Din to check if you have a right to discipline the child, to discipline the Talmud Reb Moshe says that our Gemara is not referring to well-behaved children or Talmidim. There's absolutely no heter, says Reb Moshe, under those circumstances to discipline the child. He says that our Gemara is referring to a child who misbehaved and therefore deserved to be disciplined and then improved without punishment. Rav is teaching us that even though it appears that the child has rectified his behavior, some punishment should be given to him for what he did previously. That there's a very interesting psak from Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. He says that only a father who acts affectionately towards his children is allowed to hit him when he thinks it's necessary. However, if there is no such relationship between the father and the son and the Rebbe in the Talmud, then such a father and such a Rebbe have no right ever to hit their child. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point out, we see that our Gemara quotes Psukim that compare a father to the child, the father to the Rebbe. And in fact, the Pasuk Gemara quotes the Pasuk of Yeser Bincha V'yanichecha, Yosef ben Chvi Nichecha, and we're speaking about a Talmud, not just a son. Hadam Rava, continues the Gemara, Rava said, Lev Milsa de Amri. What I answered before is incorrect, because the Pasuk compares Tzira Dumya de Charisha. Ma Charisha Matzah Charish and a Charish. Just like the Charisha, the Halacha is, if you found a plowed field, you have no obligation to plow it. Ask Tzira Nami. So too is the Halacha B'Tzira. That if he found grain that was already cut, he doesn't have to cut it again for the mitzvah's Omer. There is no specific mitzvah of cutting the Omer. V'isal k'datach mitzvah, if we're going to say that the pasuk is referring to the mitzvah, matzah kaitzer and kaitzer, would the halacha be that if he found grain that was already cut, he doesn't have to cut new grain? Mitzvah l'ktzalavi, it's a mitzvah to cut, even if there is other grain available. So therefore, is the pasuk must be only referring to cutting, which is not mitzvah related, and the pasuk is coming to teach us cutting grain under these circumstances where it's needed is mutter. Says the Mishnah, Ha'av goyla al yedei ben, a father goes into Golis for killing a son b'shogeg ben goyla al yidei av, and his son goes into golus for killing his father b'shogeg. Hakol goylam al yidei Yisroel, everybody goes into golus for killing a Yisroel. Yisroel goylam al yideim, and the same din of Yisroel goes to golus of for killing them b'shogeg. Chutz me'ger toishiv. A ger toishiv is a non-Jew who lives in Eretz Yisroel, and either accepted upon himself not to worship Avodah Zarah, or accepted upon himself to follow all Zion mitzvahs b'nei noyach, that he is the exception to the rule. Ger toishiv ain't a goyel al yidei ger toishiv. A ger toishiv doesn't go to golus for killing another ger toishiv b'shagi, which these halachas will be, and Mitzvah Shem explained in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Ha'av goyla al yidei ben, a father goes into golus for killing his son b'shagig. Ask the Gemara for Amrit. Didn't we learn in the previous Mishnah, Yotza av hamakas b'noi, the pasuk excludes from golus the father who hits his son and kills him b'shagig? Answers the Gemara, our Mishnah is referring to situation the Gomer, that he's already learned, and therefore, since he already learned, the father has no right to hit him. But ask the Gemara, didn't we just explain, Va'amrit afagav the Gomer, even if the son is behaving properly, mitzvah covered, there's a mitzvah to hit him? Answers the Gemara, it's referring to say it's of Shulya the Nagri. He killed him while he was teaching him a trade, not while he was teaching him Torah. Ask the Gemara, Shulya the Nagri, Chiyusid Delamde, that a father has an obligation to teach his son a trade, so this is also a mitzvah. Answers the Gemara, referring to an individual, a child, the Gomer, that already knows a trade, and there is no mitzvah in teaching him. A number of points. Daruch Haner asked the question that the halacha is that a father never has a right to hit a son once the son is above 24 years old. So ask Daruch Haner, why don't we just say that our Mishnah is referring to a case where he's over 24 years old. So he says that since the Mishnah doesn't seem to make any differentiation in the age of the child, it seems that this halacha is under all circumstances. Furthermore, our Gemara is saying that a father teaching a son a trade is considered a mitzvah. Say the Mefarshim, it's only a mitzvah when the father is hitting a son who's learning. It's only a mitzvah for the father to teach his son a trade. It isn't a mitzvah by other people who are teaching him a trade. We learned in the Mishnah, ben goyla yidei av, that if a son, rachman l'tzlan, kills a father b'shagig, he goes to golus. Ask the Gemara of Verminu, Maka Nefesh, the apostle said, Maka Nefesh, Pratla Maka Aviv, that if somebody killed his father b'shagig, he doesn't go to golus. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Kahana Loi Kasha, Harav Shimon, Harabon. It represents the machloikis of Rav Shimon and Rabbanan. As we recall, in Masechta Sanhedrin, we learned the machloikis, what is considered a more severe type of punishment, chenek or saif. Rav Shimon's opinion was chenek chomer misaif. And therefore, if somebody hits his father or kills his father, he would be chayiv chenek. And says the Gemara, where did the Torah say that shogeg is in play? Shogeg is saif. Where if somebody would have done this aver b'mezid, his punishment would be saif. So halacha is, if he did it b'shogeg, nitin l'kapara, he has the opportunity to have a kapara by going into golus. However, if he did an avera for which there's a chi of chenek, hitting a parent, or killing a parent certainly, which according to Rav Shimon is a more severe type of punishment, their goal is, he's not given like nitl kapara. He doesn't have the opportunity to go to golus. Rabbanan, however, the whole saif is chomer mechenek. So if its son were to hit the father, he'd be chayif chenek. And if saif gives us the opportunity to get golus, certainly chenek does. Harug av b'shayig shigi saifu. V'shigi saif is nitl kapar, because saif is a more severe punishment than chenek. So if somebody killed a parent, they wouldn't just get chenek, they would get saif, and saif is given to such an individual. Rav Amar, Prat L'Oisach HaBura Ba'Ovir B'Shoidik. It's, Rav says, the Braisa which says that if a father, if a son kills his father, he's not go to Golis, is referring to a case where he just wounded his father. Salkadat T'chemina, we would think, Kivin the B'Mezit, since if a son hits his father, B'Mezit, Bak Talahu B'Shoidik Namin legally, since he's Chai Misa under those circumstances, he should get galus if he did a b'shogig. Kamash one, the shogig is only given when somebody was killed, not when he was hit, as severe as an aveira it is. Hakagam ayde yisro, we learned in the Mishnah, ask the Gemara, what is the pasuk coming to teach us? Hakagam ayde yisro l'suy mai, says the Gemara, l'suye eved v'kuti. It's coming to teach us that an eved and kuti are go to galus for killing somebody b'shogig. Says the Gemara, Tanina l'had the Tanur Rabbanan. Our Mishnah is actually teaching us what we learned in a Braisa. Ever v'kuli ti goyel v'loika idei Yisrael, that ever v'kuti go to Golus to get Malkus for what they did to Yisrael. Yisrael goyel v'loika idei kuti v'evid, and so too does Yisrael go to Golus and get Malkus for what he did to Kuti and Evid. Ask the Gemara, Bishlama ever v'kuti goyel idei Yisrael v'loika goyel the Katli. It's referring that if somebody killed, if an Eved or a Kuti killed a Yisrael B'Shoigig, he goes to Golus. V'loika, he gets Malkus, the Lachi. If an Eved or a Kuti cursed a Jew, he gets Malkus. Ella, Yisrael Goyel, V'loika, Ayidei Kuti, Bishlam Goyel, we can understand that where will Yisrael go to Golus, to Katli. If Yisrael killed an Eved or a Kuti B'Shoigig, he goes to Golus. Aloika, where would it be a case that a Yisrael should get Malkus because of what he did to an Eved V'Kuti? Amai, the Lachi? Are you going to say it's referring to a situation where the Eved, where Yisrael cursed a Eved V'Kuti? Does one get Malkus for such a situation? Doesn't the pasuk say, V'Nasi B'Amcha Leisor, and we learned, the Oisamas Amcha, only a Jew who acts appropriately is there a chi of Malkus if one curses him, not an Eved V'Kuti who don't act appropriately. El Amarach B'Yakov, the case where Yisrael will get Malkus because of a Kuti is Kigon Shehed Bov Zuam, where he said that the Kuti did something which does a chi of Malkus, and then that Yisrael became an Eid Zoymim. That we know that halacha is V'Sisimla, as we discussed at great length, beginning of a Masechta, V'Sisimla Kashazomim Lasis. And therefore, he'll get Malkus for what he tried to do to this Kuti. Ask the Gemara, the Kavasek of Evid. Whatever example we say we're referring to by Kuti, we'll say we're referring to by an Evid. Ask the Gemara, that's referring to case, Shehed by Vahuzam, that the Evid said Edis, and then somebody said Edis against the Ku Evid, and then he was Muslim. But ask the Gemara, Eved by Edesu, is it possible that an Eved should say Edes about a Yisrael that he should be able to become an Eid Zomim? Answers the Gemara, Omer of Achbar Eder of Ika, Hachemai Skinen, our Gemara is referring to a case, Kugan Shiko Hakal Shem B'Shava Pruta, where Yisrael hit him and the value of this damage is not a Pruta. That the halacha is like this. Normally, if somebody hits somebody else, he has to pay damages, as we discussed earlier in our shiur. Nezek tzari pishavus and baishus. And Alocha Kimlei B'drabim Nei teaches us that since he's paying damages, he won't get Malkus. Dom, however, teaches us from Ami Amr B'yochanan, if he koi kosh ein b'shava pruta, so there are no financial damages, then loika. V'loi makshinen, we don't equate the Alochas v'akol l'klola. That even though there is no isser for cursing a kuti, there is an isser for hitting a kuti, and there's going to be a chiv malchus if that was a case where it wasn't a shavapruta.